Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
If people do not worship the living God, inevitably they will end up worshiping something else. Often these idols will resemble birds, beasts, or people. People will also worship power, wealth, sensual pleasures, or some combination of the above. If someone persists in their rebellion against God, then he will eventually give them over to their perverse ways, and they will one day experience God's unmitigated wrath. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 24, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 18 through 32.
Whatever we put in the place of God, whatever that is idolatry. Whatever. And of course, this is now going to now be revealed in sexual immorality. That is against God's design. And what we're reading about here isn't something that just happened. This has been since man, whenever man seeks to remove God's design, that society is going to come up with abhorrent sexual behavior that will be maybe acceptable in society, but unacceptable before God. I really believe that the moral downward spiral that you and I are observing in our society goes hand in hand with the teaching of evolution. Goes hand in hand with the teaching of evolution. How can you tell somebody that you came from an animal and then try to correct them when they act like one? When you are not believing that you have been created in the image of God, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has emptied the bank of heaven to redeem you and to save you and to give you hope and life and purpose. Wouldn't that be a wonderful message for this day and age? Boy, how our nation needs the gospel more than ever right now. It says, now we move into this next section, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. And so the next level of descent of the nation or the person that throws out God and goes into idolatry is sexual perversion, which inevitably results in the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of society, the breakdown of a nation, because we have defied what God designed in Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2. God created Adam, he created Eve, and he intended that there would be one man and one woman in a heterosexual monogamous union called marriage. That's what Jesus taught. And when you get away from belief in God, then you walk away from God's design. And there is abhorrent sexual behavior. Notice verse 25. They changed the truth of God into a what? Into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. In other words, it's possible to become more enamored with what God created than with God himself. And we see that. We see idolatry all over the planet, don't we? You know, there's not really that many born-again believers on planet Earth. If you and I believe our Bibles, before Christ returns, it's going to be like the days of Noah, like the days of Lot, like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many people got on that boat?
Eight.
You know, and I know that a lot of people are kind of like, boy, oh boy, you know, freaking out over the morality that is on the slippery slope in our nation. What do you expect? How do you expect an unregenerated man or woman to live? How do you expect? What kind of morality do you expect from them? And if they are moral, they're so stinking self-righteous that that disqualifies them from being right in the sight of God. I don't need God. So we're living out the reality of Romans chapter 1. Notice, for this cause, what? Changing the truth of God into a lie and worshiping and serving the creature more than the creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. The word vile literally means dishonorable, disgraceful, shameful. It actually can be translated over desires. And what he's going to go on here is he's going to talk about homosexuality, lesbianism, sodomy, that was so alive and well in Rome. The church in Rome was a light in a very, very dark place. And it was rampant. All of these sexual perversions were rampant in Rome. And if you read some of the people that wrote about ancient Rome, they would write about all of these sexual perversions without a sense of shame. It wasn't prohibited by religion or law. It was actually practiced without shame. In fact, you would be considered odd if you didn't join in. What's changed? Nothing has changed. God gave them up to vile affections. He says, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I mean, come on. Do we really need to comment on what he's talking about here? He's talking about natural use as opposed to unnatural use. Even women change the natural use into that which is against nature. In Roman society, again, and he's just mentioning lesbianism. It was out in the open. And here, Paul is saying this is because they've rejected the truth of God and replaced it with a lie. Now, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism are violations of the God-created order. And there's a word that is described this to describe this in the Old Testament. It is a word that is called abomination. I have kept an article in my Bible since, this is since May 1st, 1993. That was a little while ago, probably before some of you were born, maybe. And it says, this is from Rabbi Shlomo Rishkin. Homosexuality is a tragic mistake. And he writes in here how the word abomination is a word toeva, which means a tragic mistake. Judaism sees the family as the bedrock of sane society, and it understands homosexuality to be the family's most lethal enemy. Judaism endeavored to educate the world to understand that love's procreation, sexual activity must all converge with the husband and wife relationship. And then he goes on and he talks about the natural order in the world in which the male, even among plants, connects with the female in order to ensure the survival of the species. Remove this from our experience and we are at odds with nature and nature's God. This is not a born-again Christian, but this is a guy that knows what the Bible says. And we are living in that society. We are just simply living in that society. Now, to say, to identify lesbianism or homosexuality or transgenderism does not mean that you and I are homophobic and we hate them. No, my heart goes out to them. By simply telling the truth, I'm not your friend if I don't tell you the truth. And God here, I believe, is revealing the truth that people that are wrapped up in that lifestyle can turn and can trust in him and can be changed. So Paul is saying that one of the things that happens when a country, when a nation seeks to undermine design, there's going to be depraved living, depraved thinking, depraved behavior. And we don't have the time, and I don't have the guts to go into all of the manifestations of depravity and sex trafficking and pornography and all of the things that have happened simply because we've suppressed the truth of God. Suppressed the truth of God. I was just praying with our church family Wednesday night. I said, hey, if God could change Nineveh, maybe one more chance he could change America. Just change us. Just change us. Send an Elijah. Send a Jonah. And just change us. You're not gonna change morality by changing whoever's in the White House. You realize that, right? You know God's not a Republican. You know he's not a Democrat. You know he's not a libertarian. You can't legislate morality. The only way that our society could change, whether it's racial genders, it's a sin issue. It's a heart issue. We need a new heart. God changes your heart. He loves. You're going to love people. You're going to love people. God so loved the world, he gave. So Paul goes on here, and he's talking about how the women changed the natural use of women. And then in verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. That word unseemly means shameful, indecent, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. The word error means delusion, deception. The Bible talks about delusion. When a person does not believe the truth of God, they will accept a delusion. In other words, they receive in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. The wrath of God is the consequence of rejecting the warning of God. And one of the most obvious manifestations is sexual perversion and immorality. And we see it all around us. It's a known fact that many of the Roman emperors were sexual perverts. But let us not forget, lest we become holier than thou, self-righteous, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all manner of sin. He died for homosexuality and lesbianism. Okay? And he died for adultery and fornication. Over the years, I've had to meet with people that are caught trapped in an ungodly relationship, a same-sex relationship. And they say, well, I just feel this. I feel like I'm bent this way. And I'll say to them, well, wait a minute. That doesn't mean that you have to do that. I'm a married man. So what does that mean if there's ever the urge to do something ungodly? I feel that, go do it. No, you resist it. We all have to resist. We all have to put on the new man. You understand? And so Paul here is giving this incredible revelation of what happens when people suppress the truth of God. We will begin to do unnatural things. We will begin to do things contrary to nature. There will be self-destruct. And that's what's happening to all over the planet. Murdering our own babies inside the womb. We're seeing it happen. This planet is ripe for judgment. Ruth Graham Bell, Billy Graham's wife, said, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're a nation that is really under judgment. But in judgment, there is, we're here. Why? To reach out to these people. Notice verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient or fitting or appropriate. Note, it was their actions that caused God to give them over to a reprobate mind. Things that are worthless, things that are unapproved. Those who hate the truth will be given over to reprobate thinking. Thinking that is not in harmony with God's truth. That's why when we come to Christ, one of the first things Paul's going to tell us in chapter 12, verse 2, start renewing your mind. You know why? Because we come to Christ with all of this junk in us. And we now have to start thinking differently. Now notice, I want to show you something here. He's talking about the reprobate mind, and now we go, yeah, we see it. The sexual perversion, it's out there. But listen, he's going to continue to talk about manifestations of a reprobate mind. You ready for this? Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication. Oh, that's reprobate. Wickedness. You know the word wickedness means? Secret slander. Uh-oh. Covetousness or greed. Maliciousness. Ill will. A disposition to injure others, to get revenge. Envy. Jealousy. Okay? Now, this list that I'm writing, that I'm reading now, okay, now this is where it goes, wait a minute. Now you're getting close. It's okay as long as you talk about the other stuff. But these things are reprobate when they are in our hearts. Murder. What did Jesus say murder was? Hate in your heart. Is there a little hate going on in our nation? What's going to change it? President? This Congress? No, they need a new heart. What's going to change it? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Debate. You know what debate means? Contentious, quarrelsome, deceit. It means to mislead, malignity, bitter enmity. There is so much enmity on our planet right now. So much bitterness. Whisperers, one who tells secrets. Backbiters. Wait a minute. Isn't it interesting how the Holy Spirit puts words together? Would you think that backbiting is just as much as an abomination and depraved as homosexuality or lesbianism or fornication? It's here. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. I wrote this note here. They treated animals with more respect than human beings. If a couple did not want to have a child in those days, they would toss them to the wild dogs or to the trash heap. Now we just go to Planned Parenthood. Implacable. Intolerant of what is holy. Unmerciful. Now, would any of us, if we didn't read verses 29 through 31, if maybe there's a couple of them, would any of us have thought all of those are just as much an indication of being depraved as the sexual sin? Probably not. But you know what God is showing the Romans and you and me? Raymond, apart from me, you are incurably lost and totally depraved. Because then he goes on and he says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, all of us, not just the sexual immorality, are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure or are gratified in them that do them. In other words, they even applaud those who do them, or they encourage and applaud others who do them. Now, note here, God says that the people who have pleasure in the people that do these things are guilty of the same sin. Pleasure in whispering? Pleasure in backbiting? God says that the people who have pleasure in the people that do these things are guilty of the same sin. Wow. If you were to rate today's television, movie, music industry, pretty much by and large, what would you rate it? Probably the vast majority of it, I would rate reprobate. And so what Paul is saying here, that if we enjoy watching things that are listed here, that reveals there's something wrong in you, Raymond. You see, you may square off very self-righteously and say, well, Pastor Ray, I would never really commit fornication. I would never really murder anybody. And God says, if you do those, but you take pleasure in them, in other words, if you will watch something that portrays those things, you're just as guilty as the people that are doing it. That's why, and we'll be done really quick. That's why when we get into chapter 2, it begins with these words, therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you do the same things. Wow. So you know what Paul is saying? If you're just sitting there, or we're sitting here and go, yep, that's evil. Yep, that's wicked. Yep. Paul, wait, before you pull the trigger, realize you are doing the same things. If you've done one of them, it's equivalent to doing all of them. If a man seeks to be righteous in the sight of God by keeping the law, you break one law, you've broken the whole law. You know what Paul is saying here? We are totally depraved apart from Jesus Christ. And even in our temporal body, there is the remaining corruption of sin that those things, guys, dwell in us. And what should they do? They should drive us squarely again to the foot of the cross and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us. And it should birth in our heart the compassion to share this message of truth with people who don't know the Lord. You see, no deeper degree of depravity can be found than when men call evil good, good evil, and they cherish it. And that certainly is what we're seeing happen in our nation today. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sela, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.